All right. Well, guys, welcome to the third session. Our class is called Steering Your Class Toward Outreach, so your Life Bible Study class. So my name's Ramus. This is...
I'm Megan.
And so we are going to just have a table discussion, so we might ask you down the road just to move to a different table just to have a table discussion. But Megan's going to give you an overview of what we're going to be discussing tonight.
So it's crazy how... I don't think that it was intentional, but maybe it wasn't. I just wasn't made aware that, like, everything tonight has been talking about outreach. How do we reach out? How do we get to know people? How do we make people feel welcome? And in the classes that I've been in, and then also in the session, the sermon that we started with. It's been... I was also excited because I was like, and we're going to talk about it. And then we're going to actually talk about how to do it. So tonight we're going to talk about practical things, and we're also going to do said practical things and work through that. So right now you're getting a number, and these are, you're going to find your match in a little bit, and it's basically, we're going to practice how to meet a stranger, how to invite people to things, how do we make this thing, if you've been in some of the other sessions, they're talking about how, it just starts with a simple invitation. But what does that simple invitation look like? We're going to give you some tips and tricks, and we're going to do some things that you can practically walk through. Some of my friends are going to be like, you did some of these on me. That's because I like to practice what I preach. Tonight it's going to be very interactive. I usually am in bed by 9, so I'm sure that some of y'all also might not be night owls. Justin's a night owl and an early riser, so he's good. But we're going to... our hope for tonight is that you walk away with tools, practical tools in your hands. We put paper on your tables if you want to take notes, or if you want to do notes in your phone. One of these things that we're actually going to talk about, I heard from my youth minister a couple years ago when I went to go back and visit, and I was like, he's giving that to teenagers. It's applicable for adults. So I would highly suggest taking notes. We didn't do handouts because it's so much of tonight's going to be us talking and interacting. So that's what I have.
We wanted to address why we wanted to teach this, or why we were asked to teach this particular topic. So both of us are pretty passionate about this. So it has to do with just our testimony and how we got saved. I wanted to just share a little about myself. I grew up here in Houston, and I did not go to church. I went to school in Nashville, college, came back, and I was just looking for friends. When I came back to Houston, I didn't know many people, and I was just trying to find any way just to connect. One day I was, it's going to be a short testimony here, but one day I was driving by the volleyball courts at Memorial Park, and I saw a big group of people playing volleyball, and I just was wondering, man, how do they all know each other? How does a group like that form? So I decided just to pull to the side and ask them. And so I got out and I asked the individual and said, hey, how do you all know each other? And he said, we go to a church. We go to a Thursday night Bible study, and you should join. And for me, I was like, no, I'm good. Thanks though. But he named a lot of events that were going on. He said, hey, we're going salsa dancing. Saturday, we're doing this. And for me, I was just like, I'm just looking for friends. I'm new, kind of relatively still new to Houston. I'm just looking to meet people. We exchanged numbers, and he invited our... kind of reached out to him, when I walked in that Thursday, I was really welcome. I could care less about the message. All of us are in, I think, Bible study classes, so most of us have like a calendar, and I just looked at the calendar the whole time. Like, I could care less about the message. I was just like, what's going on? What are they doing? And I was just there to meet people. And for me, recalling back how I was greeted was so important. If I was not greeted, if people would have ignored me, I don't think I would have showed up next week. I honestly don't think so. How I was greeted was very crucial, and that kept me going. It was 6 months later that I got saved. I just kept getting invited. So, a lot of times I think we think, okay, you got to share the gospel on the spot. Like, this is a brand new guy. He just came in, shared the gospel. A lot of us are like, I don't feel comfortable doing that yet. It took me 6 months, but it was through that invitation of just going and meeting people and going to Life Bible Study, going to small groups, that I began to personally explore more and through the accountability and other people. So that's kind of my story and why I'm excited to share some things tonight. So.
Yeah, and my story really started in middle school. So I was raised in a single parent family home for most of my life. And so with single parent family, you move around sometimes, like not necessarily like cities, but like we move from like being an adult. It's like you move from one apartment complex where you got like a good rate, like initiation rate, to the next apartment complex that gives you a good initiation rate or whatever. And so I was at a new middle school. Three middle schools in 2 years, and only one of those I started at the beginning, and that was a new school because I went from elementary school to middle school. So middle school, awkward age, and always being the new girl, never having consistent friends. And when I got to high school, my mom got married to my stepdad, and they bought a house, and she's like, okay, Megan, like, you've gone through a lot of moving, and we are going to plant you in one place. Like, I got to pick the high school I went to based off of where we were going to buy the house. I picked the high school and I was planted there. And I remember in middle school, I mean, once again, awkward age to be a girl, to be a kid. And I was always new. And so in high school, I made a point. I could see a new person from a mile away. And I still can't. It's something, it's like someone walks in and I'm like, you're new. And how do you know someone's new? Because they're by themselves, because they're not talking to anyone, because they're looking at a calendar. And in high school, I have a very specific person, both my sophomore year and my senior year, where they were sitting by themselves. No one was talking to them. First day of school, spotted them from a mile away. And to this day, the girl who I met in my sophomore year, we stay in touch, because she's like, you were the nicest person. Like, you just said hi, how are you? You pointed me in the right direction, and you were my friend. And like, no, we're not best friends. I didn't go to her wedding, but we've stayed connected, and it was because of that that now I walk in a place and I can see the new person because I was that new person. It's like when you're burned, sometimes you can see it. And so knowing the importance of that personal connection, knowing the importance of what a simple hello, being intentional, going out of your way to make someone feel welcome, made a huge difference for me, and I see how that can make a huge difference just in welcoming people and getting to know people. So
we wanted to just move into table discussion, so we're going to ask two questions up there. We just wanted to see, get you in the mindset of why should we outreach, and why do we fear outreach. And so I wanted to give you a few minutes if you are at a table of at least three. So yeah. if you're not, if y'all could just move to a table three, and then we'll give you a few minutes to introduce yourselves, and then we'll come right back.
Either way.
Come on down. I don't know an answer to why I
fear it. Just a second. Let's go. Nice to meet you.
Cody, nice to meet you.
No, you're good. I'm Sally. And I'm Lindsay.
Nice to meet you.
It's 30s and 40s, so it's like, a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Really?
Yeah.
How, how we feel.
Oh, awesome.
Because I'm in that same way. I can't find anybody else. I'm working on it. How they tell us in our house, and like, literally, nobody says anything.
I don't like a lot of them.
Smaller.
Yeah.
Some of them. Yeah, that was part of it. And I'm Lindsay. We're at 114, so.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that means something to you, so I was trying to keep it quiet. Yeah, we can do that, yeah. Here, I'll not just outreach to the outreach to those that are already there. We kind of struggle with they don't really right now we have we need downhills and class down to help them take on how do you outreach? How do you get them? So it's kind of like you're like, because sometimes that's it for me too. Is like I feel like I'm so busy, and I don't want. I'm also such a kind of things for them, and so I'm like, I'd rather just not make plans because I don't want to. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, guys, hate to cut y'all off. We want to see what y'all came up with. So, how about this table? What did y'all talk about? Why should we outreach? Any examples there? Anyone?
Okay, one of the reasons I would say is like I feel like I'm part of something like really great right now, and I want more people to be part of that.
Amen. That's great. I agree.
How about your table, Scott?
I think it's just you're trusting the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we, including myself, we can, make outreach. We can talk ourselves out of outreach because of certain things. But if we just extend that invitation and let the Holy Spirit and let God work in that, then a lot of times, He'll do the work. And it's just that simple invitation is what brings that person to know God. I think for anyone that was went to see the Undies, if I used to say that correctly, they shared a really cool testimony of how a woman invited a little child who did not know Christ to VBS, and basically she just invited him because there was free Kool-Aid and cookies, and that's why he went. But because of that, he liked VBS and he came to know Christ. And it was just that she just did something simple. She just asked if she wanted to come. And that was it.
This table, did y'all come up with anything for why do we fear? What are some fears for outreaching that people may ask?
We talked about kind of it falls under the fear category, but you feel like you're so busy and it's like your time is, you have a lot of things that we're doing, we're all doing this, that, and the other. And so we fear sometimes making the commitment, but then it's not, you won't be able to follow through, or it's like, I'm going to only be half in, or they're also busy. So it's this idea of busyness is getting in the way of us being able to outreach well.
How about this table?
We were exploring the first question
okay.
So much.
Go.
Explore away.
Yeah.
Share
please.
Your exploration.
Why should we?
One thing that I had mentioned was, not just outreach to the new people coming in, which is important, but to the people in your group. I just sat through the one about being the consumer and the commissioned, and how do you move people through? And I think by continuing the outreach with people in your class, to keep them wanting to invest in it? I mean, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. How about in the back? Anything y'all discuss for your about reaching?
Yeah, I'll just tell them it worked out perfect. We were focusing on that question. We mentioned things like just having awkwardness when talking to people.
For sure.
Like, what do I tell them? What do I? How do we find out what we have in common? A little bit about overreaching, trying just too hard to do it.
So you talked about when Francisco, I was sitting and he walked in and he was really friendly. And so, I was like, oh, great.
This is a friendly guy.
Francisco, don't turn red.
I went on to explain this question, if I were to consider myself and my life story, my situation is I'm a single mom. I have a 13-year-old son. So even though we might have something in common, we may be similar in age, we're in a completely different life stage. And so, to the awkwardness that Francisco was pointing out, is the fear that I would see is the fear of not being able to relate to someone, you know. And so that would be my fear, the fear of outreaching and not being able to connect, because it's important to find a way to connect to someone the first time, like you mentioned. You know, you were able to connect with someone because of the activities the client had kept going on, and they were able to come around you and love you, and you felt part of that group, that family. And so, that would be the biggest fear there.
Mm-hmm. Deal. Some of the other stuff when Megan and I were talking about, I have more on the fear outreaching, but for the fear about reaching, one, not a priority, like you said, busyness, you know, it's like not a priority, there's other stuff. Only pastors should, like I'm not supposed to, that's just certain people's job, I'm not equipped to do that. Reputation, awkwardness, just like you were talking about. Discouraged by results. You know, I did it once, it didn't work, why should I ever do this again? And content with friends. And we'll talk a little more about that, but it's very easy to maybe get in a bubble, and it's like, okay, I have my friends, I'm good, you know, I don't need, why do we need to outreach anymore? I'm content there. So those are some of the things that we discussed.
I think, you know, so I've just stepped into the GABA leaders, the first leadership role I've had at church. I'm excited about the growth, but one of the concerns I had, and that would also be like with outreaching, is what if you get asked a really hard question? You know, like what if you have to defend your faith, you know, or they ask you, well, why would I, you know, whatever it is, you know, that was always in the back of my head too, is man, what if they ask me something I can't answer, and then they never believe in Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
For
so.
Sure.
And that's, I would say that's the enemy speaking lies,
yeah.
Whatever. I'm laughing because my teacher's in the class right now. But, I know. No, what's interesting is how, like, that fear drives us away from sharing the gospel. And even, like, discipling someone right now, she has a Muslim background, and so she has a lot of questions that we just don't ask because we were raised in BBS and we know Noah's Ark and the 9 plagues of Moses. And the best answer that you can give is, I'm not 100% sure on that. Let me get back to you. Can I get your phone number so I can like follow up with you? And then if you, there's a question that she had, I was like, I'm 95% sure this is right. And I'm going to confirm, and then we're going to come back to it. But it's okay if you don't have all the answers, but usually they're not going to ask you some crazy theologian conversation. They're just going to like want to know, like, why is it that I don't have to pay for my salvation? And it's because it's a free gift.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the best answer, if you don't know the answer, is being okay with that and going and doing the research.
And I think there's something to be said about, you know, as a Christian being honest, because
you don't want to give that perception that you have to have it all together and you have to know all the
right.
answers to be a Christian, because then they're going to have that same
right.
fear in the future as well. So
there's
I think
a test at the end.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to move on to how, and it's really the how are we outreaching, and it's kind of the idea for, it's an excuse for a relationship. So, for those of you who don't know, I did major events for Summit for a couple of years, and it was just an excuse for me to throw parties for people to come and hang out at. It's an excuse to bring people together. It's when you're thinking of why am I going to pick what I'm going to do, or how am I going to make these events? I have like a calendar of that I can fill in. Like I need to do a gather event a month, whatever it is. Asking yourself like, what's already happening? Super Bowl Sunday is coming up. Most of us are having a Super Bowl Sunday class party. So think of like sporting events. We live in Houston. We have literally all the sports. Go to a game. And then things that happen at the church. So celebration, Summit New Year's Eve, things that are already happening that you can show up to, things that are happening in our city, things. And then there's sometimes the just because. And some of this stuff could be you planning an event. So like, it's a natural time of year, Christmas time, we have a class Christmas party, and you putting that together, Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving. So there's some things that like, it's almost like expected for us to have these events and to put these events together. And then there's sometimes where like January comes around, and I don't know if y'all have looked at your calendar in January, but it's kind of there. If you aren't doing things intentionally outside of just what the natural thing that you're already doing. And so when you're thinking of what are we going to do, think of things that are already staples, but then also think of things that sometimes it's getting together just because. Sometimes it's the dinner for eight. Sometimes it's the going to a game. I mean, I think we really have sports that happen all year long between, like, because we have a football team, a baseball team, a basketball team. Like, the calendar doesn't stop. Soccer. We went to a game. Oh, I fail. How are we doing what we're doing? And so some of these things are going to be playing together as a class. And so I'm not here to tell you how to put together a great party or how to organize an event. If you want to talk about that, I am all yours. Like, I love to talk about those things. I love to put things together. But really, my big thing with putting together events and organizing events is when you organize an event and the details are taken care of, people are going to come and they're going to continue to come back. If they know that there's going to be a sign-up sheet for them to sign up to bring food, then one, they're going to bring food and help you with that, but two, they're going to know that things are thought of and thought through and taken care of. People want to help. Like, it's more in the South. Like, people don't like to show up to a door empty-handed. Like, let me buy something, let me bring something, let me do something. And so if you give hands that want to serve something to serve, then they will do it. And then you'll put these events together and it'll happen. So having quality events will really pay back in dividends. If you say, hey, we're going to like have a game night, come on over. And then they come on over and you don't actually have any games. You have some cups for water at the tap, which is fine, but like, it's just like when you don't have things, it's like, are they going to want to come to the next game night? Probably not. But if you have a game night and the baseball game is on and you have games to play and you have popcorn popped, I mean, it's sometimes it's just the little things. And as someone said, who I've already heard tonight, it's about the details, and sometimes the details really do matter. Knowing that things are going to be taken care of, people are going to want to continue to come back and also be a part of that. The art of the just because, I think that we've kind of missed this, and we'll talk in a little bit about how to really initiate conversation and outreach to others, but like, are you hanging out with people just because? Or do you have to have a class event to spend time with one another? Ashamedly so. I love that these girls are in here. There's a group of girls in my class who we happen to like to work out, and we decided, I asked them if they wanted to do Babes at Bike and Brunch. Woo! So Saturday mornings, we already did it once and we're doing it tomorrow. We're getting together and we're doing a spin class and we're grabbing brunch. And we are just hanging out. there's no end game to this. It's just us. You should say you should come.
Yes.
You should. There's no end game, but it's we're hanging out just because. So when you're like, oh, there's not an event for me to invite someone to, hey, you want to go grab a cup of coffee? Like, oh, like you say that I need to have something in my back pocket for like in the next 2 weeks. If a new person shows up, I need to be able to invite them to it. But our class calendar, we just did Midnight Madness. We don't have anything until the Super Bowl party. I guess I get a get out of jail free card. No, like go and like make an excuse. Hey, can you want to go grab some dinner? Hey, do you have a free night this week just to like hang out? So many people are like thriving for and like and think that like we need to make these events and orchestrate these like big things to create relationships, but really like hanging out is just an excuse for a relationship. And so how to do that, you do that through holidays, you do that through sporting events, you do that through really just organizing people together. And yes, yeah, some people, like this guy's the connector of all connectors. Like you, like, where's Ramis tonight? I probably somewhere in Houston doing something awesome. Like, but he's out and he's doing things and he's connecting people. And so, no, you might not be the person who's always gonna be the one that gets the group together, but you're gonna be the person who faithfully shows up with chips and queso in hand, or that says yes, or that invites people. So that's kind of the how. And so if you wanna ever get into the details of like how to effectively plan an event, be happy to talk to you about it. But really it's the thought of an excuse for a relationship. It's the open door. Inviting someone to a game night, a whole lot less awkward to invite a coworker to a game night at someone's house than to invite them to the sanctuary. You might not get them through those two front doors, but to a, someone's house on a Friday night, yeah, they're gonna go if they want.
No, you're gonna make up. No,
I'm bidding you my car and we're going. So, yeah. This is where we're gonna start doing some things. So everyone has a number. Get your number. And you're gonna have numbers, I think, 1 through 5. And they're guys and girls. So if you have the number 1, you're gonna be at this table. 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can take your stuff. There's gonna be 2 guys and 2 girls at each table.
Because it's a team of guys.
Y'all already know what
you're doing. Yeah. I love it. So guys sit next to guys and girls sit next to girls. Sorry, I should have clarified.
Oh, okay.
Guys sit next to the guys and girls sit next to the girls. And we go to places and we meet people. Don't look at the board, look at me. we go to these events and we do these things. And we usually get as far as, hi, what's your name? And where are you from? All great things. I think it was my first Sunday at Houston's first. Someone met me and it was like a dude. He was great. We became friends. He's like, let me guess, you're an Aggie that's a teacher. And I was like, I went to LSU and I'm in construction. And he's like, oh, I missed that mark. And I was like, yeah. But usually, like, we don't get past that. Like, it's, and then we forget their name. Like, thank goodness for name tags. But still, it's really embarrassing when, and I'm guilty as charged, when we meet people and we've met people a couple of times and we still don't know their name. So this is what's called the high five, and this is what I learned from my youth minister, so from youth kids, but applicable to adults. So when you meet someone, you want to give them a high five. And then, fun fact, you don't get a high five in one day. It's going to take multiple days. The first is asking their name. So, hi, what's your name? And then really, it's the thought of trying to use their name over and over again, like, oh, like, Scott, so nice to meet you. Scott, what do you do for a living? And then continue to use the name over and over again, because then you're going to remember it. If you say someone's name three times, you are much more likely to remember it than if you only hear their name and never say it once. So say their name throughout the conversation. Number two, find a connection point. Some people are better at this than others, but it's things like, where are you from? Where did you go to school? What's your occupation? What do you like to do? Things like that, that hopefully you'll find connection points. I love LSU football, so you went to a school that plays LSU and we can talk football all day. I like coffee. I like spin classes. I like running. Like, find a connection point. And really, this connection point is one, so you can continue your conversation, but two, so you can be thinking of someone. When I meet someone who went to Arkansas, I'm going to connect them to my girlfriend, Rebecca, because Rebecca also went to Arkansas, and they have that connection point. I meet someone who likes to do triathlons. I'm going to introduce them to my friend, Lexi, who also likes to do triathlons. And so, one, you're carrying the conversation, but two, you're thinking of someone who you can connect them to. Because here's the thing, at the end of the day, this isn't, like, we're not, the burden does not all fall all on us. And then sometimes we meet people and we don't have anything in common, but that's okay, because we're human beings, so we can still talk to someone. And sometimes the art of just shut it, like someone said it once again, I don't remember, the three S's, but the shut up part, and that doesn't necessarily mean only when like someone has gone through a difficult situation, but also sometimes just like sitting there and being okay in silence. Being okay to just like sit and have a cup of coffee. Like, I don't need to talk all the time. Sometimes I can just sit. And so what's that connection point? And then think of who can you connect them to. So that way it's not just you. The third point is ask them to sit with you. Nothing better than like meeting someone like who just walked into, who like the welcome team brought them to your class. Oh, this is someone new. Hello. Hey, you want to come sit with me? Awesome. And then after you sit with them, you're gonna ask, and after you've like had a conversation, you went to church together, you like spent a couple of minutes with them, you ask them for their number, which is why we're in groups of guys and girls. So, hey, can I get your number so I can follow up with you later? So you're asking for their number, you're getting their number, you're sending them your phone number, connection point. And then the fifth is before the next time you would see them. So if it's a Sunday, if you talked about going to the porch on Tuesday, if you talked about going to something and going somewhere, hey, are you gonna be at the porch tonight? Oh, awesome, I'd love to meet you out front. So simple, but how rare do we ever get to that point? Unless we're thinking about it. So we're gonna now have a conversation. So you're gonna meet someone, and I'm gonna switch because I know you. I know. But you're gonna talk to these people, and it's gonna be, hi, what's your name? And yes, really, we can really get through the 2 points, but try to find a connection point. Try to find something that you have in common with a stranger that you might not have known before tonight. And it's really practicing through getting to know someone that you don't know. Let's switch. Because she's great.
I'm going to go to the next one.
just gonna. Okay. So really, at the end of the day, people long for relationships. Like, we are relational beings. The Lord made us to be in relationships.
Genesis 2.
It was not good that man was alone. So
the Lord bless men with women.
I did whisper amen. I just didn't yell it when I said it. I was like, amen.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple things I want to share real quick is when she was talking about earlier, I know some of you are excited, maybe you're new in the socials or socials team or gather team and you might be new, or sometimes you've been doing that for a while trying to figure out what's the purpose. Just take pride in that, because your event, if you do it well, that's the maybe that first opportunity that someone's going to see it for the first time. And if it's done well, you're kind of outreaching that person in a way. So take pride in that. Do it well. Again, you may be doing it for a year, and you may be saying, okay, what's the point? What we shared is you don't know who's walking through that event and may say, wow, I really enjoy that event. I want to continue coming and keep going to your events and invite me back. But if you don't do that well, people may say, hey, that I'm good. I don't really want to come back. So just know that there's a purpose behind it. Let's see. Showing up is another thing we want to talk about. Part of, if you want to outreach or build relationships, it's showing up. You know, it's a sacrifice. So it's just showing up to an event you might not be wanting to. Showing up, you can't help but have relationships happen when you show up. Initiation is key. Think of all your friendships that you've had. If you want to have a friendship, if you want to have a friend, you probably are the one that's got, someone's got to initiate. So you just can't show up and think, okay, something's going to happen. Initiation's key. Think of most of your really good friends, someone was the first person to approach and say, hey, can I get your number? Let's do something. So just think about that. Initiation's really key. We're going to go real fast here, speed things up.
And I would also say with the how, and because one of the points that I erased of the fear was we don't have the time. It's like we're busy. And sometimes it's inviting people into what you're already doing. It's like, yeah, our life is busy. Like, we have jobs, we have like hobbies, we have things we do. And sometimes it's not necessarily creating something new, but inviting someone into what you're already doing. So that thought I wanted to share.
Something we were gonna read, 1 John 1, 36 through 46. We're not going to read that. You can write that down and maybe go over it. The reason we chose these verses were because this is kind of method I kind of do outreaching. It's come and see. And so what happens in these verses is verse 39, Jesus invites one disciple, says, come and see. Come see what we're doing. Come and see. He says, come and you'll see, he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. Verse 43, Jesus found Philip and told him, follow me. So again, come follow me. Verse 46, now Philip, who just came and saw, you know, went with Jesus, is now inviting Nathanael. Hey, Nathanael. In verse 46, he says, come with me. You got to come see. And so that's the method that I try, is like, maybe, again, you don't share the gospel on the spot, but you're building a relationship so when that time comes, you can share the gospel. But I think it's just invited. Come see what we're doing, okay?
Can you repeat the reference again? 1 John?
Yes, 1 John 36.
I'm
sorry.
John 1.
Oh, okay.
John 1,
36
through 46, yes. Thank you.
First John.
Okay, so three people we want to talk about outreaching to. You have people outside the church, you have people inside the church but not plugged into a class, and you have in our class but involved, but not involved. Okay, so first people I'm going to talk about, again, going fast here, outside the church. So you want to invite them, in my opinion, I don't think you should invite them to, so you meet them outside of church. I don't think you should invite them to a live Bible study class right away. You know, maybe you, or maybe Koinonia, a small group, okay? Imagine they're coming in and they're like, hey, you want to come to Koinonia or come to our small group? You know, that's maybe not the best thing to do.
An unchurched person.
So, intramurals, Super Bowl party. I think that's a great event to invite. Now, for me, I've kind of been able to be a little bold. I know you're like, well, how do I do that? One is just overcoming your fear. I know that's easier said than done, but overcoming your fear. The second thing is just, you know, a thought comes to my mind whenever I outreach. I'm like, should I go to that person? As soon as I start to question, boom, that person's gone. So I don't think about it. I say, Lord, I feel like the Lord put that person in my heart. I don't question it. I go to them. Now, believe me, there's been some awkward conversations. So we talked about a fear of outreaching is results. I've had some awkward conversation where people are like, why are you talking to me? I'm good, man. We did a missions, what's it called? The 1 week?
Houston Way.
We did at Memorial Park. And so that was our assignment, or that was the place we chose. And we used to start a conversation and invite them. We had something to invite them to. We had a run club. Petros has like a ultimate frisbee. So you should key in, your class should maybe think about owning something that you think maybe it's outside the church that you can do once a week or every other week, that you have something to invite them to. So we had a running club, and it was very easy. They were already at Memorial Park. Hey, you want to come to this running club? We're already running. Why not go with us? We also had a business card. And so we would approach some people and would say, hey, if you're interested, this is our Bible study class. Here's the information. Leave it now. You leave it up to them, but they have all the information they have. There's an email, there's a Facebook, there's a lot of stuff that they can see. Our Facebook was very updated to have pictures to make it very attractive to see, oh, they're doing stuff. Maybe I do want to join us. So left information with them. I know we're running out of time. First time I invited someone just to share a story. First time I invited someone, I was at Dave & Buster's It was a class event, and I love Dave & Buster's. You can find me there almost every week.
Did you put your card in the raffle for the gift card?
I have not.
You missed
I
it.
Need to. I need to.
$100 gift card, Dave & Buster's.
And so my class left. They were all gone, and I decided to stay. I was like, okay, I'm going to stay, and I love Dave & Buster's. I don't care. I don't need people. So as I was doing that, I saw some people, two guys watching a basketball game. And again, I keep up with sports, so it was very easy for me to relate and talk sports to them. They were watching Oklahoma versus A&M. So I talked to them, and I had an event. It's the first time I ever did this. Just a thought came in mind. I was like, we do a basketball league on Saturday. Why not invite them? So I went up to them and said, hey, are y'all interested? I just talked about the game and then said, y'all play basketball? They said, yes. So we have something going on Saturday, you know. Y'all should come to this basketball. And they're like, sure. Later on, they kind of knew the reason behind it, but I'm cutting it very short. They actually attended the Bible study class I went to a month later. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends he kind of said, you know, I appreciate you not making me the project. I appreciate you getting to know me. Like, you could have invited me that day and said, hey, do you want to go here? And then go to Bible study class and be like, all right, I'm done. That's it. You know, I did my job, but I wanted to get to know him. And so I bring that up because make people matter. When you invite them, make them matter. Don't make them feel like they're the project. So get to know them, invest in them. So that's okay. Next part, inside the church but not plugged into your class. So whenever I go to a, whenever I would suggest when you go to Bible study class, you should always be walking to service, in my opinion, with someone that is either new to class, or you're going, if you don't have anyone, I would look around the, when you're at the service, look for a new person. Where do they sit? Probably in back. Who's the first to leave? They're probably the first to leave. So you guys would strategically look for people that are sitting by themselves and go with a friend or something. They're there. There's a lot of visitors that come by themselves and where they think of where they're going to sit. And so, last couple minutes, I kind of look around and I know who I'm going to approach. Or the welcome time. They say, hey, go meet someone. Instead of maybe sitting with your class where you know every single person probably there, place yourself in somewhere where you know there's not a live Bible study class. There's probably people there that are not connected. And when you go to, when you invite someone, you could test it out whether, again, email or phone number. You make that call. If it's awkward, sometimes I'm just like, let me get your email, so that way they don't feel like, okay, I don't want to give you my number. I just say, here's an email, and I tell them. It's a very simple conversation. Hey, are you plugged into a live Bible study class? Boom, they answer, you run from there. And then from there, you know, something that we wanted y'all to do is, again, not put the pressure all on you to have that conversation. Think of someone. So if I meet someone, and I ask a couple questions, I already know in my mind who I'm going to point them to. I'm like, all right, come meet this person. That way I don't have to, you know, carry a conversation this long. I'm always thinking of who I can point them to. And hopefully you have developed good enough friendships that those friends know, they get the hint. Okay, this is someone new. Don't introduce them to someone new that's new as well. And then you're like, all right, we all talk. We all talk here. Good luck making a connection there, you know? Be strategic. And then last people is in our class but not involved in the class. So a lot of times when you go Monday or Tuesday, I believe it's outreach, or I know people do it differently. Summit does it Tuesday outreach. A lot of times we focus on that first-time visitor or someone that visited. There's a whole list of people that have attended once that haven't come back for 4 or 5 months. We have access to every single person's number. You can ask Christy or someone, call them or email them. Don't forget about them. They attended once. Those, in my opinion, are the easiest people to outreach to. Why? Because they already entered those doors one time, but they did not make a friend. Everyone, I mean, you think about why you stayed. It was because someone initiate that conversation. And is it awkward? Is it uncomfortable? Or is it what you really want to do? I know there's times when I walk in that life Bible study class, I just want to go to my friends. I don't want to talk to anyone else. But think about that. That's the opportunity. You have time to catch up with your friends. You have small groups. You have community. That 15 minutes before class and 15 minutes after class is very crucial. Be in the mindset of saying, let me not catch up with my friends right now. Let me talk to people that are new. And then the phone conversations, I mean, a couple of us have done this. It's awesome. I know it's intimidating, but you just say, hey, I'm calling. You know, I went to this class. What's going on? You know, we have this event. We have a couple things. And you'll see, again, I think one of the key messages that I've heard about is letting other people do the talking rather than you doing the talking. You share a couple things, and then they'll let you know. So those are...
I think with that, there's so many people in our classes that show up faithfully, and this is another one of my stories. And this one was from college, where I started to go to a different church and try to get plugged back into a church. And I went to the same church every Sunday and sat in the same seat and saw the people who were also at the BCM on campus, but they had their group, and I sat in that spot faithfully, and I'll just wanted them to say hi, and they didn't, and that's okay. But like the older couple that sat in front of me or behind me said hi to me every week, but that intentionality wasn't there. And you have those people in your class, and because like they're my class, I find them, and then like there's one who she's been in the class since at least the summer, and asked her, hey, are you going to our dinner beforehand with Renewed? And she's like, I was thinking about it, but I'm not sure. And I was like, oh, let me get your number. You should totally come. This is the dinner I'm going to. Do you want to come with us? And the next thing you know, because she's not just getting a mass email from everyone. She's not just getting a notification on Facebook. She's getting someone asking for her number, inviting her, following up with her. It's just like she is seen and she has been seen. And so it's some of those people are in your class, and those people want, like, they want a relationship. Those people are around you, they want intentionality. So just be intentional. So super quick, the ask, don't overcomplicate it. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? I got an extra ticket for the hoedown. Do you like barbecue? Do you like two-stepping? No, you don't like two-stepping? There's football on. Who doesn't love football? Would you like to be my guest? I got two guests, a coworker and a coworker's daughter, who came to hoedown because I purchased extra tickets when they were cheaper, and they came. Hey, what are you doing for New Year's Eve? Like, do you have plans? It's like Monday. Do you have plans for tomorrow night? Would you like to come with me? I have an extra ticket. So getting an extra ticket, one, or choosing to buy them at the door, whatever. But asking, making it simple, and also we're the generation that doesn't like to commit to things unless like a plane ticket's involved. And so, so asking someone, hey, what are you doing in a month, might not get the same response of, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I would love to invite you to this. Hey, you want to go? And then, or for the person who is in your class but not plugged in, hey, are you going to insert thing that we do? Insert event. Hey, you want to grab a bite to eat before that? Yeah, I'd love to. And then it's the personal connections. And so just making those connections asking simple questions. Don't overcomplicate it. But things to have on hand, class calendars. I do my class calendar and I take a copy every week because you never know who you're going to run into. Big, oh, here, let me, can I give you my class? Like, this, these are the things that we're doing. This is the information for it. Forwarding your class email, have an event in mind that you can invite them to. Like, you know that we're going to have the Super Bowl party coming up, so you can invite them to that. Know the next sport that's going to happen. Soccer starts at the end of February. Knowing like, hey, would you like to play soccer with our class? We're putting a team together. Would love to have you there. Get buying an extra ticket for someone. This is the creating margin.
Yeah, I can close that real quick. Okay, just real quick. One thing we forgot to talk about is pray. Pray for God to put people in your life, you know. So you're going to, you need to, you know, if you're praying every day, Lord, put someone in, you're going to be aware of it and God's going to put someone. So pray that God, pray every day for God to put someone in your life. Let's see. I think it's easy to forget how it was to be a new person. I would challenge you. This is just, you know, you might be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But go to a different class one time that you don't know anyone. Remind yourself how it is to be new. So some of y'all that go morning, go one time tonight. Some of y'all go night, go one time to a morning. Just go and remember, you'll remember how it feels. Because right now you forget, when you are so plugged in, you forget how uncomfortable it is to be that new person. If you put yourself in those shoes again, you'll kind of have that mindset, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot how awkward it is to meet people. And then, not me, you know, just not knowing anyone. Join a group. You know, God made you passionate about something. I like a lot of sports. I like running. I try to find running groups that I go to, and that's my way to build relationships. So I play in a volleyball. A couple of us go to Third Coast. I go with the intention. I enjoy playing, but at the same time, I go to hopefully build those relationships, get to know people. So think about something that you're passionate and do it. If you're clueless and you're wondering, how do I do this? There's a site called meetup.com. meetup.com. Okay, they have tons of groups. They have like 1,000 groups. Something you enjoy, I guarantee, is there. And there's people that are brand new to Houston that don't know anyone that are in that group. And I just think that's a great way to build a relationship. Final thing is, it's very easy to get in the bubble. It's very easy to get. And I mean, you could fill your calendar. I know for at least Summit singles, we have the porch, we have a small group, we have Konania. That's already 3 days a week right there, where you say, I don't have enough time now to outreach. You know, there's so many messages that we get. You know, you include our Life Bible Study class, you include Pastor Greg. That's like 5 messages a week, which is awesome. But, you know, I think there could be one night a week where you can say, I'm going to set this time aside, I'm going to build relationships, and not say, okay, be in this consumer mentality where how can I get fed, and never live it out. So I would challenge, just one night, join something that you're passionate about, it with the intent of building, joining to build those relationships, and try not to be just in a bubble and forget what we're called to do. So
yeah. So kind of a final thought. Be the light on the hill. So like Matthew 5 talks about how like you don't put a candle and then put it under a bowl. You put it on a hill for all to see. And so kind of to think of it in a different way. I'm not a theologian, but if we are a light around a whole bunch of other lights, are we as much of an impact as if we were a light on a dark hill around people who don't necessarily know Jesus, and you can bring the light to them? So the creating margin in your schedule, being intentional with being it, to have space to be able to say yes to things that are outside the church. It is an amazing thing that we have here at First, but if we only hang out with First people and we don't go out and share and spread the light that is Christ, then who will? So, yeah.
So we went over time. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. 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 section. Also, there's a survey. Don't take that. It helps us figure out like which classes y'all like the most, so maybe we can more reward those.
Here.
Just keep that in mind.
And BG does. For, I will say thank you for like coming. 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 Thank you for like.